This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to Planners and Wine. My name is Myra.
And I am Megan. Welcome back, guys.
Welcome back to another week and a very special episode because, one, we have our fellow Patreons in the building.
Again, because they were just in the building like 2 weeks ago.
Which is fine.
Yes.
It's fine. We love them. Yes. But it is also anniversary episode.
Yes, our 2 year anniversary. So as this episode comes out, the regular episode comes out on June the 9th. That is the official 2 year anniversary of Planners and Wine. We released our first episode on June the 9th, 2020. Can you believe it? I can't believe it's already been 2 years.
I mean, even just thinking about what I was using in 2020, what I was thinking as far as a creator in 2020, it is so different. Like, because of this show, like, all of y'all, I wouldn't have known a lot of friendships that are, like, lifetime friendships now would not have existed. So I'm very grateful for this podcast.
Same. And then, like, I feel like my mentality when it comes to the planner community has just really changed so much over the past 2 years. In different ways. I feel like the past 2 years, especially in doing this podcast, has really kind of like opened my eyes. And I feel like it's maybe opened a lot of people's eyes to, you know, a lot of things that go on in the planner community, a lot of the inequality. So obviously, you know, the bad thing is really Black creators and people of color, queer creators feeling like sometimes we don't always have a place in this planner community, but then something good that's come out of it is us really making our place in the planner community and creating our table instead of just waiting for a seat at somebody else's. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's definitely been, it's had its good and bad, but I think more good than bad for sure. For sure. I love it still.
Yeah, it's so amazing because it's like you said, we created our own table and the people that would not allow us to sit at theirs are now looking over at our table like, oh, what they got going over there? So it's, yeah, it's such a very good vindicating feeling. But
yes, it is. It is. Yeah. And since we have our patrons in the building, we want to ask you guys, like, over the past 2 years of Planners and Wine, like, what are some things that you guys have loved about the show, appreciate about the show, any differences y'all think the show has made in your life or in the community? Let us know in the chat. And while y'all work on that, Myra, how has the show changed your life in the past 2 years?
It's made it more busy.
For sure.
But on the better note, like I said, just meeting a lot more people, building relationships with people that I probably wouldn't even have crossed paths with. Because y'all know where I come from. If y'all been following me for a while, there's honestly, other than you, I probably wouldn't be talking to a lot of the people that I talk to right now. So I mean it just really opened my eyes to how great this community is, and like I've known that it was great, but like just the world outside of that inner circle that I was in before the show, it just has opened me up. And like I said I'm just so grateful for this podcast because I just grateful for the people, honestly.
I think so too. Like in the past 2 years, like obviously this podcast made our friendship even closer than it ever was before. And I'm super, super mm-hmm. grateful to that. And it's also just opened us up to so many amazing people that who knows if we had would have been able to, you know, connect with them if not for the podcast. I feel like the podcast has brought so many amazing people into our lives, like, you know, through anybody listening to it, resharing it, hopping into our DMs to talk about it, you know, being on the show. We've become such good friends with guests that we've had on the show as well. Our Patreon community, we've developed some extremely important relationships within our Patreon community as well. And just the overwhelming amount of support that we've gotten for the podcast in the past 2 years has just been, you know, more than we ever imagined. We definitely never imagined it would have such an impact. Like when we went to Go Wild and there were people literally coming up to us, crying to us, telling us about how important having this voice and this representation in this community was to them. Like that was amazing. And that just really, really meant absolutely everything. It means absolutely everything to us. So yeah, it's like the podcast has definitely made life a lot more busy, but busy in a very, very good way. Like I can't remember life before Planners and Wine. I think it was, yeah, Raina said that in the chat earlier. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with this platform and like, I think this is a message that we try to get across in each and every episode and just having this podcast in general is mm-hmm. like, if there's a need for something, don't sit back and wait on somebody to create it for you.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, if there's something that you want to put out there into the world, something that you want to hear, do it.
Yep.
Step up and do it. And mm-hmm. you never know what could come out of it, but yep. nothing's going to come out of it if you just sit there and wait on somebody else to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the patrons are chiming in. So Lisa, who happens to be one of our like OG patrons as well, yes. like really with us from the beginning. Shout out to Lisa. She said, I mean, I came for the planner tea, but realized real quick that y'all are about so much more than planners between y'all's genuine conversations and life and what's happening in the world. Thank you, Lisa. You know, we always got to get the planner tea.
I'm so happy you stick around.
Yes, but we have to have some, you know, some substantial things in yeah. there as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
I think we have a good balance between like the tea yeah. and like the substantial stuff. Yep.
It's balance, baby.
It's balance. Yep. Yeah. Heather said, y'all made me much more aware of diversity issues in the community and opened my mind on how to really be an ally. That's amazing, Heather.
That is amazing.
For that sure. That is amazing. Yeah. And it's like, it was never our intention to like help people be better allies or anything like that. But I feel yeah. like it's kind of like a cool bonus that has come mm-hmm. out from the podcast. And I think it just speaks to how many people are open to having those conversations about race, those really tough conversations. And they just really didn't know where to go to really hear like, you know, Black women talking pretty not, you know, pretty candid about like what is going on in the community as far as race and what is going on in the world as far as race. So I'm super, super happy that we could be a part of that for you, Heather, and hopefully other people too. Danielle said, love that the show shares so much perspective. My number one memory was when y'all brought up the conversation of planning and consumerism. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that was an OG. That was an OG episode, mm-hmm. I think. I'm pretty sure that was in the first like year or 6 months. And I feel like the show is such a time capsule for me and Myra's like experience in the planner community. Because obviously when we got into it, we were heavy Happy Planner stands, Happy Planner down, buying all the stuff, driving around the city to every Joanne, every Michaels to find all the things. And it's like, we kind of came to the realization close to the same time that we don't need all this stuff. It's just so much. It's like, it's always something. It's always this, always it's giving you the feeling that you always need more, that you never have enough. And it doesn't feel good. And it's like, we just shared that on the show because we were going yeah. through that in life, in real life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of people kind of needed to hear that too.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's so easy to get so caught up. Like if you're on Instagram or YouTube or Facebook, whatever, and you see all these people are finding these new releases and, mm-hmm. you know, Happy Planner dropped this, whoever dropped that, it's so easy to get caught up in it. Like, oh my God, I need to get it. I need to get it.
Yeah.
But then you realize like you're not using it because by the time you get that one thing, something else has been released and now you're chasing that high.
Exactly. And you're never satisfied and you're never just giving yourself room to breathe and to enjoy what you have. And obviously, you know, there is still crazy consumerism in the planner community. And obviously we still participate in it sometimes, but I feel like it's all about mindfulness. You know what I'm saying? And just being aware, having that awareness of why do you want something before you purchase it. Veronica said, love getting perspectives from so many great people and their views on this community. It's helped me to see this community is more than just the small circle I was a part of before. That's real.
So true. That's another thing too. Like if you're not looking, like you're just going to think that that is the planner community. Like for me, like that Happy Planner little bubble within this community, I just assumed that was the whole community. And if I would have ran on that, I would not be talking to y'all today. So, just get out there and just follow some different people. Listen to some different people. Whatever it is, just to get a different perspective.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Lisa said, the guests that y'all have had have given us so many lessons and gems that go beyond planners. Oh my gosh, the guests. Yes, especially we've had so many like shop owners and business owners and entrepreneurs on the show. And it's just like, I feel like the main lesson from all of those people, like Myra was saying earlier, is just put yourself out there and try it. Like whatever you want to do, like as long as you go in with the right intentions and the right reasons, like you just never know what could happen. And you know, so many great things come out of something that was so unexpected, just like this podcast, you know. So I love all the guests that we've had on the show and have truly learned so much from them. And you know, and it's exposed us to more people too, because then they're bringing, you know, their audience into us and exposing our audience to them. It's been amazing.
We pick good people to be on the show.
I think so too.
I
think so too. The first year of the show, man, we had a lot of guests, because were we doing guests like every other week or two times a month or something like that? We had a lot in the beginning. So we definitely talked to a lot of people, and we just didn't want to. The reason why we kind of slowed down and just kind of put it to one a month is because it was just a lot. We just didn't want
to. Scheduling.
Scheduling is very tough when it comes to guests, for sure. And then you want to kind of give that guest their time to shine. You know what I'm saying? Having a lot of time between guests kind of gives that person more time to really get that exposure from being on the show and the people to be able to learn those lessons from them. So it's been really, it's been great. And nobody has complained. So that's been a good thing too. Heather said, also, I think Plannergeddon made a huge impact on the whole community, y'all. Plannergeddon blew us up. And, you know, like I said, like, obviously, success comes from a lot of hard work, but it also comes from some luck, too. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, I feel like when we started this podcast exactly 2 years ago, it was like a microcosm of timing and what was going on in the world, what was going on in the planner community, you know, the need and the desire for Black voices to be put more out there, like front and center. And it's like, you know, and that has, and that carried us obviously for the first couple of months, but that's not what kept people around. You know what I'm saying? Because eventually the Black Lives Matter posts started to slow down. The Black Creators Matter posts started to slow down. You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of like that spotlight that was really put on the Black community, it's kind of, it kind of faded. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people who cared so much 2 years ago really don't say it and show it like they did back then. But, you know, because of you guys, like, we've still been able to stay relevant and stay important to the community regardless of that, you know.
For sure. And I think that's a lesson, like, I like how you said, like, yeah, it is a little bit of luck, but it's also a lot of bit of hard work. So don't think you're just going to be able to hop on the trend and ride that, like, you may get a wave, but the only way to continue that momentum is that consistency is a quality product. So I mean, that did push us a bit. I think, like, what, Plannergeddon happened maybe that was like our third ever episode, second or third episode. Like it was very early on.
Yep.
But yeah, that definitely pushed us, but it's definitely hard work and consistency and quality. So if you're trying to do something, don't try to ride in a wave. It's going to fade real quick.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kristen said, y'all seem very non-judgmental about the products your listeners use. You're empowering for people to use what works for them. Yeah. And we definitely kind of felt like we needed to make that something that was said pretty much soon as we started that, you know, even if we don't love a company or agree with a company, don't think that they have the best morals or whatever it is, like anybody who wants to is still free to use it. Obviously, we're going to still be honest about, you know, any issues within the company, but I don't feel like that's not necessarily a reflection of the people who are using those products. If that's what works for you and that's what you love, then, you know, use your faves. We just always implore people to be informed with their purchases and make sure they know who they're giving their money to. And if they're comfortable with that, more power to you.
Yeah. And I think that was something that was needed in this community too, because we had a lot for many years, like, oh, if you don't use this, and you don't F with these people, you know. You know what I mean? Like, very happy planner, EC, whatever, you know, very in our own little world. And kind of having those conversations that we had kind of, like, burst that bubble or popped it a little bit to be like, hey, you know, who cares what you're using? We're, you know, we're going to talk about what the company is doing, like, morals or whatever, but I don't care if you still use that planner, you know. That planner doesn't put any value on you as a person. Does it work for you? That's all that matters.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're more than our planners. And we're more than our planners anyway. So Raina said, I was looking for my people and I realized on day one of finding out about Planners and Wine that this was my section of the planner community. Also, I rarely change my core system, so I'm here for planner. Girl, we are the planner hoppers, okay? You will get all the planner hopping from us.
That's so true. That is so true. Yeah, we do a lot of hopping. I don't know. We don't believe in brand loyalty over here, if y'all haven't realized already.
Yeah, we don't. We just believe in, you know, what's working, what do I love, what is giving the aesthetic that I'm going for at that moment in life. Like, you know, that's what we're into it for. Okay. Dr. Ebony, oh my gosh, girl, we got a doctor in the house. Yes. She says, super new here, but with the 2 or 3 months that I have been listening, I have enjoyed the authentic conversation. I learned a lot about the planner community, but it's way more than that. Thank you so much for joining us, and we are happy to have you and happy to hear that. And I think if me and Myra don't have any other goal, it is to always be authentic and 100% ourselves. And if we ever felt like we couldn't be ourselves anymore on this podcast, we wouldn't have a podcast. It would just be that simple. You know what I'm saying? So that's really important to us. Love it. Veronica said, and exposing us to new people is a big plus. I fell down the Archer and Olive rabbit hole because I loved hearing her on your show and her experience. Shout out to Bonnie.
Archer and Olive. Yeah, we love Bonnie.
She talks a lot about mental health on the Archer and Olive platform and whenever she does things in the community. So I'm super, super happy that we've helped expose people to new things and, you know, new products and all that stuff.
Full responsibility for that A&O. We both take it.
Yes.
Great company. To go down.
For real. Naomi said, I'm pretty alone in my plannerness here in Northern Ontario, Canada. So finding out not only a group of planners, but a group of like-minded people that also happen to love planners has been wonderful. And Naomi, we keep telling you, you know, if shit goes down in the U.S., you're not going to be alone because we're going to be at your house. But I love that because I feel like in this planner community, because we are like all over the U.S. and the world, like I feel like people can feel alone because you don't, you know, everybody don't get lucky enough to be hanging out at Joanne or whatever and find a new planner friend, have somebody to hang out with in the city. You know what I'm saying? So,
And I think we all really felt that in the pandemic too. Like, you know, we kind of are stuck in the house, so we are trying to look for that community. And, you know, we we came up out of the pandemic, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
We're happy you're here.
Yes, we are. Raina said, yes, the Black Planner voice was everything and everything I needed. Yes, she sent it too quick. And Daniela said, agree, Raina, I didn't see myself in the community until I found Planners and Wine.
This is what we be saying.
Mm-hmm.
This is what mm-hmm. we're saying with these companies, these creators. Like, we are here. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we basically had to slap y'all up in the face mm-hmm. with it before y'all realize it is just unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that it seems like the community is moving to a better place, but it shouldn't have taken that.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I feel like a lot of times just, I mean, not even in the planner community, but just in society and in world in, mm-hmm. in the world in general, like sometimes it takes something really big, like a very big catalyst to evoke change. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, everything happens for a reason. And yeah. as unfortunate as, you know, all that stuff that happened in 2020 was that happened, I feel like it is. I can't speak for the world, but I definitely feel like it has made at least the planner community a better community for people of color, Black women in particular, a safer community for us, a community where we aren't so isolated, where we do feel like we can speak up and speak out and be ourselves. And we might still get judged. You know, people still want to throw that bully word around, but who cares about them? We're ignoring them. They're a non-factor. So, yeah. Yeah, Heather said, girl, same. Trying to be nice. Heather said it was being real and unafraid, and that work y'all do that made Planner get and have the impact that it had. And she said, or rather, it was the courage and bravery to speak up against the current culture. Yeah, sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's really, really tough. You know what I'm saying? But you still just gotta, if it's important to you, then you gotta be able to stand on it. You know what I'm saying? What's that saying? It's like if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. I think is how it goes. Had you heard that one before, Myra?
I have heard that before.
Period.
Yeah, period. It's not a South thing.
No.
but that's so true. That is so true.
Yeah, Lisa said, finding planner friends in real life is a struggle. About to start dropping washi samples like bait in the planner aisles and Joanne's and Michael. That may work.
That might work. Because if I see a Simply Gilded in my mm-hmm. Joanne's,
I'm going to follow the trail. Yeah, exactly. Have y'all seen, it's like a picture and it's like a van and it's like a book van, like a bookstore van, and it's basically like to lure like book lovers into it. Have you seen anything like, have you seen that? And no. It's like a meme. It's like a meme of like a van that has like a bookstore inside of it. And it's like a girl being like, oh, I would never get in a random van. And then she see the bookstore and she like, it's kind of like that. Except like a washi. Yeah. Except for us, it would be like washi and stickers and planners and stuff. Like, okay, I'll get in that van.
Somebody make that. That'd be a really good reel.
That would be Danny. So funny. Danny, where you at? Get on it. Yes. But yeah, guys, this past 2 years have just been absolutely amazing. And we wouldn't be anything without our amazing listeners, guests, sponsors, and more important than anybody, the patrons. We love you guys so much. And we just always appreciate you guys' support and always showing up, you know, month after month, coming to these things, coming to meetups, and, you know, like letting your support for us be known online. It just really means the world to us.
Seriously. Yeah. Definitely because y'all helping us get to this point. But here's to another year. This year, second year has already started out so amazing. We still have the other half to go.
Yeah.
I'm excited for what we do.
Yep. Same. So let's go ahead and get into some show topics. So first things first, speaking of our peeps over there at Arch and Olive, they have a release coming out on June the 8th. They have another collaboration with Amy Tangerine. Shout out to Amy Tangerine, who we also had on the podcast in our first year. And it's some really new, really beautiful new notebooks. So it's not, I know they usually do, I think at the end of the year, they have like an undated or sometimes dated planner collab mm-hmm. with Amy Tangerine. So these are just notebooks. And they are absolutely amazing. Gorgeous. They are so pretty. I don't need one, but I just want one. So
I'll probably buy one. I need to hold you.
I think I probably will too. I think I will too. Yeah.
They are gorgeous.
They are very, very gorgeous. There are two of them as well. One of them is more of like a pastel kind of watercolor cover, and the other one is like a more like bold colorful one. But yeah, they're absolutely beautiful. I still wish I was a bullet journaler so bad. Like, I think that's a goal for me. I want to really learn how to, even though you don't have to brush letter or anything to be a bullet journaler, I personally would just want to be. I really think, I don't know, maybe whenever I get some time this year, next year, I really want to kind of focus on my lettering and making that look really pretty, because girl, once I can bujo, y'all not gonna be able to tell me nothing. Y'all are gonna get sick of me. Y'all are going to get sick of me. So, and I'm ready for that.
Yeah. I mean, I just kind of play around with bujo, like do like a little bit of memory keeping and stuff mm-hmm. with it. Cause I felt like the pressure of having to create a spread every mm-hmm. single week. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you probably could bulk it or whatever, mm-hmm. but you know, just having fun with it made mm-hmm. it that much more fun. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah. Nobody ain't got to see it. You don't have to have pretty
handwriting. I see it. I see it. Trust me, I've had this conversation with myself for 2 years about this. And I've tried and tried, and I have just come to terms with the fact that in order for me to bujo, it needs to be pretty. It needs to be aesthetic. I just can't help it. So that's what I'm going to work towards. Alisa has a fantastic idea in the chat. She says she is ready for the Archer and Olive Planners and Wine collab. Bunny and Nicholas, Bonnie. Y'all are listening.
Yeah.
Hit us up.
We gonna etch y'all on this podcast.
Right.
They're like, what the heck?
We're just gonna blind copy them on the podcast.
Like, go listen to this one. That would be so dope.
That would be amazing. But yeah, guys, let us know if y'all are able to hit up that collaboration, and also support the Archer and Olive design team and use their links. Our girls, Jerrica and Crystal, they are Archer and Olive design team members. Follow them and, you know, use their links when this drops. This helps them a lot, and they're just people that we love. And obviously, we want to support, you know, our fellow BIPOCs in all spaces all the time. So. Yeah, definitely support them if y'all check this out. Right? And Allie, shout out to Allie. So yeah, use her link as well for sure. Because we love
us links on links to Allie. On links. And if you're buying multiple times, like mm-hmm. I do, I just round robin. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I don't know who I'm on next. I got it on my Notion. That's one of my Notion pages.
That is so organized and cute. That is so such a cute thing to keep up with.
No, it's a problem because why do I shop there so much? But I do keep our links on the Notion sheet.
Maybe I should
share that.
Yep. Heather says she's going to do like Danny does at some point and make it a junk journal and practice her lettering and doodles in there. But then her perfectionist comes out, alas. I feel you. I feel you.
Just have fun.
Yep. Just have fun with it. It's easier said than done, though, Myra. Okay?
I mean, I'm just saying.
I want to have fun, but also have it look beautiful and aesthetic, okay?
For you. And if that's what you want for you,
yep.
Meg and everybody listen, if that's what you want for you, you can do it.
All about choices. Don't let nobody
tell you nothing different.
Choices and options. Options and choices. Okay, so also, surprise, surprise, the Happy Planner has another Be Happy box coming out. I swear every time I go to their website, it's a new... It's a new Be Happy box dropping, I swear. But this one, so as y'all hear it, it'll be out, but it comes out officially on June the 7th. And it is called Aloha Stitch Be Happy Box. And it is like a Lilo and Stitch, well, I primarily Stitch from the Disney movie Lilo and Stitch Be Lilo Happy Box. So I don't know why they just focused on Stitch, but it's super, super cute. I really do like it.
Well, I think the overall Lilo and Stitch fans mostly focus on Stitch.
I think that's probably why they just doubled down on Stitch.
Stitch is cool.
Yeah, because it's Stitch all over the place, including the whole Stitch like sticker book. So they have like a large sticker book, vinyl stickers, sticker patch, storage folder, snap in pen pouch, and also a happy notes. And there might be other stuff in there, but that's just the main stuff that they were highlighting on the website. So yeah,
I will say it is cute, but I am a Stitch fan too. Stitch
are you gonna is adorable. Get it?
Absolutely not, because I only want the stickers.
Oh well, and why do they have the big sticker book? Why not just the regular size? I'm just not into those big sticker books. Yeah, it's like the big square one.
Oh, I'm looking at the notebook, seeing if it was big. You're talking about the sticker book?
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's the thing now with Happy Planner. I'm just not feeling that because it's something else. To store, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. when you're so used and have all those sticker books that are a certain size already, now you have to create.
I mean, their sticker store just can't even fit those sticker books. You know?
Maybe they had a new one. Who knows?
Maybe so.
New storage for it, but I don't know.
I'm still not feeling those big sticker books. I'm just not into them.
Oh, and I hate that they do this too. I'm looking at the sticker book now. I may not even want the stickers. They have those holographic sheets.
Mm-hmm.
Like half of the stickers that holographic, like how they did with the villains one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
Mm-mm.
It's too much. Like mm-hmm. one or two pages, cool, but half the sticker book.
Like who is going to use all those? Yeah.
It's given no shade. If you mm-hmm. like it, you love it. I'm here for it. But it's given those Dollar Tree stickers
mm-hmm.
with the holographic. Like that really cheaps it down for me.
Yeah.
Like, I love holographic foil, but to have the whole page that holographic is given Dollar Tree.
I feel you. Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. Caitlin said, not a huge Disney fan, but I'm loving the sticker patches, especially for like a Stony Clover Lane sort of pouch. Look, that would be very, very cute.
Yeah, I do love this.
I think every once in a while, Happy Planner will have some of the things that are in the Be Happy box available for individual sale. Like I'm thinking of like when they had like that gardening Be Happy box, and then later on you could get the sticker books individually. So, you know, maybe so, but they're not big on that. It's really just kind of whenever they feel like putting some extra stuff on the website, pretty much. But it would be cool if those were available individually. So you could just buy the pouches because those are kind of cool.
Yeah, that patch. This patch is so cute.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the sticker patch. And the vinyl stickers, like these, those are actually my favorite. I was filling the stickers until I seen that half the sticker book was that holographic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Yep. Yeah, they got to drop that sticker patch separately. Yep. Some kind of
way. I know. Cute. Yep. Yes, guys. So let us know if y'all pick up that Be Happy box and let us know what y'all think about it. We would love to see pictures.
Send me the sticker patch if you don't want it.
Myra, we'll take the sticker patch off your hands if you're looking for a way to get rid of it. Yep. And also, so this sale is going on right now from Moxie Life. I'm not 100% sure when it's going to end. I did not see an end date on their website for it. But that is the perk of being a patron, because you are hearing it, you know, while it's still going on for sure. But Moxie Life is having a huge sale right now. They are selling their dated yearly planners for $35. That is the absolute cheapest I have ever seen them. Sierra over there, Moxie Life, said that they are never going to be that cheap or cheaper than that. So if you have been wanting to try a Moxie Life, this is the time. And also, everything else on the website that is not dated is 20% off right now. So definitely check out that
Moxie Life sale. A really good sale. I feel like 35, like if you've been thinking about it, wanting to try mm-hmm. it, I think that's the perfect price.
I think so too.
At least try it.
I think so as well. Yeah. Yeah. I totally think so too. And I think also I think Moxie Life just announced that they are now shipping to Canada. So Naomi, Brittany, any of our other Canadian friends, if you guys have been wanting to try Moxie Life, they are now shipping to Canada. So I'm just saying, it's a great time. They got sales. They're shipping to Canada now. Go ahead and get on that.
I didn't know they didn't ship to Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why. You know, maybe COVID or how expensive it is. I have no idea why they weren't. But, you know, MySlife is still a pretty new company. So, I think some things just come with time. So,
yeah, they're still building. It makes sense.
Yep. So, yeah, guys, let us know if y'all are going to get anything from that sale. I think I'm good because I actually ended up getting another MoxiLife Daily, the last sale they had about a month or two ago. And I ended up picking up the Undated Daily for like 20% off then. So I still have another one of those in my back pocket if I decide to use that again. And that is, I mean, even though I hate dating stuff, that is the good thing about dated planners. You can really just use them whenever you want to. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that is true.
Yep. But yeah, guys, do you think you're going to be picking up anything like we mentioned? I know you're going to get the Amy Tangerine Journal. You said no to the Be Happy Box. Are you going to get anything from this MoxiLife sale?
I was thinking the daily, but I don't know if I can do the price. I do like the daily duo. I ain't even going to hold you. I'm fine with it. And then also it's 7x9, right? Their daily?
It's 8x5.
Oh.
They don't have, only thing they don't have available because it's been sold out forever is their A5 inserts. Because they do have the A5 daily inserts that you can get, and you can punch them and put them in a half letter setup, or you can put them in an A5 setup if you want to, but they don't have those. They just have the spiral A5 daily.
And now that I would be interested in. And of course it's sold out, but I would be interested in that because that would be pretty cool to have it on a dismount.
I know. So yeah, if y'all are interested, definitely get on it because last time I looked, they only had two of the colors left for the daily spiral one, and it was four originally. So have a feeling that people are probably jumping on those as well. Yeah. But yeah, let us know if y'all get anything. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Planner World, thanks so much for supporting Planners and Wine. If you are looking for more amazing content, make sure you head over to our Patreon page. We have exclusive bonus episode, exclusive content, and an amazing community that you cannot find anywhere else. Now is also the perfect time to join because we may or may not be debuting an exclusive Patreon-only spinoff show in the coming weeks. Just letting you know, you ain't here for me. So what are you waiting for? Go ahead and check out the link in our show notes and get signed up for our Patreon today. We'll see you over there.
All right, guys. So we are back. And just in case you live under a rock and you have not heard us talk about this every single episode, you might be new tuning in. Check out our Patreon at plannersandwine.com. We do so many fun things with our patrons every single month. They are our absolute biggest supporters. And we would love for you to join us if you're interested. You get tons of bonus episodes, bonus content. We also have our new show called Shots that are available to specific tiers on our Patreon. It is a bi-monthly show. So definitely check that out and come on and join us. And then maybe you can be in our next live show in July. We would love to have you.
Yes, absolutely. Can't wait. We have fun over here and it's a lot of good things coming down the pipeline. So come join us.
Yep. Come join us. So yeah, so I guess what we wanted to talk about on this episode is it's kind of like a new way of coming up. It's like influencers who like talk bad about other influencers. Myra, do you want to kind of expand on this?
That's not what it said on the show.
And sneeze. You say it. I'm about to sneeze, I think. Hold on.
I don't want to get canceled by Apple. So we'll keep it clean. But yeah, I don't know. I've seen it a lot lately in this planner community too, specifically towards creators who are like trying to monetize their platforms.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of other creators are kind of finding a niche off of downplaying them or making it seem like they're bad. Mm-hmm. But it's also like you are an influencer too.
And you know what? Especially since this is our 2-year anniversary, I think this is a great time to bring up one of the first bits of like negativity we got in reference from the podcast was a planner influencer hating on the fact that we had a Patreon community in the community. You know what I'm saying? And it was a wrong. You remember old girl from 2 years ago.
Was it a happy planner person?
Yes, of course. Oh, yeah. Girl, now you know. absolutely. It was. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I feel like everybody who has a platform, you are free to use it the way that you want to use it. You know what I'm saying? But to judge people for how they use it is just nothing but hypocritical. And go ahead and read the comment that I know you're about to read. Go ahead.
I was about to say, Karina, I know you lying. I know you lying. They started their own? Nah. I got her blocked, so I wouldn't have known that. I know you lying. That's a joke.
And that's another layer to it. Because it's like, and that's the thing. It's just like, you really have to be careful on what you publicly, you know, judge people for, because people change and people evolve. And obviously, if this creator now has their own Patreon, clearly you changed, you evolved, and you opened your mind, but you still blocked by us because of the thing that you are now able to profit from. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. That shook me. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, I think people need to, speaking of people going back on their word, that's another person we had an issue with that completely went back on their word. But anywho, like, okay, maybe you don't understand it, or maybe you don't get it. But to be like, oh, like, you're a horrible person, like, you're terrible, you need to quit, da da da, and then you finally learn about it or want to monetize your own platform and turn around and do it, like, it just, it's not a good look for you. It's not a good look for your brand.
Yeah.
So, like, why even do that? Like, have a core group of people you can vent to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a huge issue with the internet in general. A lot of people start posting stuff in their stories,
mm-hmm.
and this is stuff that you should be having with your core group of friends, mm-hmm. to kind of vent to and work it out, because everything isn't meant to be on a public platform. Like,
1,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I feel like, especially like with us, for instance, like, we obviously talk about a lot of things on our public platform, but we don't talk about a lot of things on our public platform at the exact same time. Like, the amount of things that we choose purposely not to discuss publicly, that we discuss like amongst just each other or just our friends, or hell, even just you guys, our patrons, sometimes when we do like our lives, like our Facebook lives that are private or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything is just not for public consumption, and especially to like openly bash other creators who are not hurting anybody. If people want to sign up for their service or whatever they got going on voluntarily, and if they want to spend their money on it, like, who are you to tell mm-hmm. them that it's not valuable, especially mm-hmm. for that situation in particular, because it was a white creator telling black creators that what we are doing is not valuable, that our time is not valuable, that our work is not valuable, when obviously we already, especially early on in this community, we were not the people at the top of the brand's list to be talking to and sending stuff to. Hell, a lot of times we still not.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
for
saying?
Sure. Yeah.
So it's like, for if you do you hate for people to like openly hate on other people who are just trying to you know, get what they're worth and be able to really invest in themselves and have other people who want to invest in them and believe them. And like I said, for her to not even recognize the racial dynamics of that as well, just speaks to the privilege, speaks to the entitlement. And it's not even just that person. It's a lot of people in this community, outside of this community, who have said similar things, not necessarily about us, but about the same things about creators who see the value in monetizing their platform in some way, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think a lot of it comes from the notion that, you know, social media is not a real job. Still, it's kind of prevalent, but it's just weird when that comes from people who work in social media. So they are, it's one thing for people who don't work in social media to say that. They don't know the behind the scenes. They don't know the time and the patience and the editing and the crafting and the curating that goes into it. But when you do know that, all of that and you're still hating on other people who want to get compensated for that time and dedication they're putting into it just because you don't feel the need to, it's just a weird flex. You know what I'm saying? And I can say my full-time job is working in social media. You know what I'm saying? And even for people whose part-time job it is, side hustle, hobby, like, it's clear, it's a job. It is a job. There are people who are able to make very good livelihoods off of nothing but social media. So the fact that that still even is prevalent in the world, in the community, especially from other creators, is just absolutely baffling to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's like a level of like jealousy or what. I don't know. But... or if you just truly don't understand, sometimes I think like people who like kind of crap on Patreon just truly don't understand, especially when it is, because specifically it's always, sorry, it be y'all people. It's always white women who say stuff like, oh, Patreon shouldn't exist. Oh, I don't get it. It's a scam. Like, yeah, like we, unfortunately, people like us have to go to our audience to monetize ourselves and to gather support so we can keep creating whatever it is, YouTube, podcast, whatever it is we're creating, because companies don't come to us. They come to y'all.
Yep.
So yeah, it's a scam to you because you can go directly to the company. We can't.
Exactly. Yep. That's so true. That's so true. Rizzo said, wasn't that a YouTube thing a few years ago? Like people would start beefs for views, or there was one that was to get some hashtag canceled just for views. Was that a thing on YouTube? I know that that's happened a lot on YouTube, but I didn't know if it was like a full, like, was it a wave on YouTube for real to like get people canceled?
I feel like it was when YouTube, like that early 2010s era.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Lisa said, for real, people need a group to bounce stuff off of. Yes. And you know what I'm saying? My thing is like, everything does just not have to be for public consumption. It's like, if you can't find your group, y'all can hop in our DMs and be like, girl, can you believe this is happening in the planet community? And we could be like, girl, oh, we can't believe it. But that doesn't mean we got to put it all in our stories. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true too. I think Lisa is spot on. A lot of people need to have that outside, non-public core group of people, whether it's family, friends, or people within the planner community that you can bounce stuff off of. People you can trust to bounce stuff off of.
And you know what? Dr. Ebony, because that's what I'm calling you because you're a doctor, she said that, yes, people are so quick to talk to social media versus friends and family, but people are also looking for likes that they normally wouldn't get in real life. It's about attention. That's why they don't talk privately, because it has a lot to do with attention. That's so true. And it's weird to seek attention off of hating on people for getting attention.
Weird flex.
It's weird.
It's like Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man. Like, how are you gonna basically shit on influencers, but your goal is to get likes and engagement, which is the job of an influencer.
Exactly.
So which Spider-Man are you?
Exactly. Because you're looking at yourself. You pointed at yourself. Heather said, obviously we need to start a Patreon for people who need group chats before saying something publicly. That's a great idea for a tier. Talk to these people before you do all that in your stories.
Oh my God, specific tier. It'll be a Discord just to go off in. Yep. And it can never be leaked. Safe in that Discord or something. I don't know.
Exactly. But yeah, it's just like, you just have to be careful about the things that you say on a public platform, because my thing is like, you just never know like how your words could turn into, you know, like hatred or like, you know, mean comments and bullying towards somebody else when you just are barely thinking twice about it. You think you're just talking, like, and I appreciate now that I see on TikTok a lot, like, one creator will call out another creator for a specific behavior but not necessarily want it targeted towards that creator, and they'll kind of put the disclaimer that this is nothing against that in particular person, but there's just this broader thing is a problem. Like, the example that I saw today was there is a creator and she made a series of videos or whatever on TikTok talking about the perks of people who were born in like the continental US, like moving to Puerto Rico for like the tax breaks and all that. Basically the gentrification of Puerto Rico is what she was pushing or whatever. And this other creator stitched her video. Well, she didn't even stitch it. She just like screenshot it and she didn't even put the person's name or anything. Unstitched. And she was like, she was like, I want to bring attention to this issue, but I'm not trying to send hate to that one creator. But this is why people from the continental U.S. moving to Puerto Rico is actually not great for the country and how it affects the people who are, you know, born and raised and living in Puerto Rico and the Puerto Rico, you know, situation, how it just makes it really tough for them or pretty much or whatever. So I like how that was. Obviously, that's a situation that is bigger than just somebody's opinion. That's not her just saying I don't like when people move to Puerto Rico, you know. She's saying it actually causes major issues, and you know, that's how she feels about it, and that's how a lot of people actually feel about that as well. So I think there's a way to do things, but everything is just not worth putting on a public platform, and you really got to pick and choose what you want to publicize, because if you just publicize everything, then nobody trusts you because you're always up on your soapbox about every single issue. And so nobody really knows what you care about. And then when you publicize nothing, once again, nobody knows where you stand. Nobody knows where you care about. So you have to kind of find that balance, you know?
That's why it's a job.
Period.
It takes a skill.
It does. It absolutely does. Yeah. And it's like, and it's not even something that, you know, we have perfected. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like a year ago, we were talking about pretty much anything and everything on our Instagram platforms. You know what I'm saying? Now we have kind of pulled way back from doing that. So we're still trying to find the sweet spot of what we want to talk about on our Instagrams versus what we want to talk about on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, I feel like what we've kind of done is like, obviously we on our individual Instagram pages, we both post and talk about the things that we individually care about. And on the podcast, we talk about things that we mutually care about. You know what I'm saying? I kind of feel like that's kind of, and you know, luckily me and Myra, for the most part, we both care about the same thing, especially when it comes to like basic human decency. We're always on the same page about that stuff. But you know, as far as like our interests and stuff like that, that's more of the things that we put on our individual Instagram pages. So
yeah, it's a balance. It takes skill, just like with any job. Like you come in entry level, you gain that experience and kind of move up. I feel like social media, just because you don't quote unquote clock in or receive a paycheck from, I don't know, whoever the head of Instagram is, doesn't mean that it isn't a job.
Yep. Exactly.
But yeah, that's such a wild phenomenon. I wish we could title our podcast with memes or gifs, because I would totally do that Spider-Man point, that Spider-Man one.
I mean,
but it has to be words.
We can put a gif on the show art. I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to this. We'll workshop it. That's
literally what it is. And it's wild because it, and also on the flip side of that, a lot of these people that are like basically crapping on other influencers, if they Instagram got deleted tomorrow, they will be devastated. They will be devastated.
They would.
Because if you don't want to be an influencer, why is your page public?
Yeah.
Why do you have thousands of followers?
And why do you care? Yeah. Why do you care about having thousands of dollars? Why do you have two-step verification on your Instagram if it doesn't matter? It's just like, I feel like people think it's like cool not to care, but it's not cool to not to fake not care, because you do care on some level. Most of the people who are on social media who have a public page, they care a little bit, and it's okay to
it's wild.
It's
like the cool kids trying to be cool. Like you're just too cool for school or whatever, but you still go to this class
faithfully every day. And you make an A. You make it, you're A, you're acing the class that you hate and you don't care about. So do you care? I think you do. I think you do. But yeah, guys, definitely chime in on the comments, hit up our DMs, and let us know what you think about influencers who hate influencing.
Like that's sense. A niche now. It's mm-hmm. just, it's just weird. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, even if you feel the way about it, just that ain't not my business. Like, I don't mm-hmm. agree with every, like, Patreon tier that everybody has. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It ain't my business. I ain't buying into it.
Exactly.
Whoever want to, more power to them.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Okay, so let us get into some celeb garbage. Y'all, I said it last week. I'll say it again. The celebs have been garbaging. It's been so much going on the past couple of weeks. I guess the celebrities, you know, once it's the summertime, it's hot outside, they really just start showing out and doing a whole lot. So, yeah. So let's go ahead and get into it. So this past week, the six-week saga of the Johnny Depp and the Amber Heard trial has finally come to an end.
It's been that long?
It was 6 weeks. And in trial wow. time, that is a long time. Yeah. It is a very, very long time. And I'll kind of give you something to compare it to. Well, you know what? It's kind of levels, because somebody had reminded me actually the other day that the O.J. Simpson trial was like a legit 9 months. It was like a 9 month long trial. So that is definitely the exception yeah. and not the rule. But
that was a criminal case too, though.
But here's the thing, though. Nipsey Hussle, rest in peace. The person who murdered him, his trial, or allegedly murdered him, his trial is starting as well. They think that trial is only going to take 2 weeks. So it's weird. It is very, yeah. very weird. The legal system is very, very weird. You never know. But yeah, this damn trial was a whole crazy shit show yeah. for 6 weeks.
Different scenarios.
To yeah, play and different it, so yeah. scenarios and evidence and all that type of stuff. So yeah, so basically, what was a pretty big shocker, because a lot of the legal community was basically saying that they felt like both Amber Heard and Johnny Depp were going to lose. Actually, Johnny Depp won on like all three of the points of his case, and Amber Heard won on one of the 3 points of her countersuit to him. So all in all, Amber Heard owes Johnny Depp about $8 million, which her attorney is saying that she does not have the means to pay. They're going to be appealing the verdict. And honestly, I'm just happy that it's over so we can just get out of these rich folks' business. Because yes, I was actively being in their business, but it's only because it was out there. Okay. Y'all know I love this celebrity stuff. Yeah, it was just, I think one thing that I do want to say, something that I felt kind of weird about when the verdict came out, I felt weird about how many people were openly celebrating the fact that Johnny Depp won. Don't get me wrong, and I have even said, I believe on this podcast, that Amber Heard's story has an insane amount of holes. It seemed like she was lying a lot, and based on the verdict, it feels like the jury did not believe a word of her. But at the end of the day, nobody knows for certain what happened between them two, except for them two. So even with all the evidence in the world pointing to the fact that it's kind of unlikely that these things that she stated took place, I still don't believe that, regardless of this jury's verdict, I still don't believe that it's 100% certainty. So that's why you just were not about to catch me like openly celebrating the fact that he won, because at the end of the day, Johnny Depp still like said some really, really disgusting, horrible things to his friends about Amber Heard via text message. And she alleged that he did some pretty horrible things. And it's like, I don't ever believe that something is 100% of a lie. I mean, did she probably add a little bit to, or a lot to, these stories to kind of juice it up, make it extra good? Who knows? Probably so. That's what it kind of seems like. But that doesn't mean that they were 100% not true. So yeah, I just felt weird yeah. about the celebration of the verdict. I really, really did.
Yeah. On TikTok?
I saw TikTok, Instagram, I saw it everywhere. Oh. I saw it every people who hadn't said anything about the trial this entire time, all of a sudden posting, you know, memes and all this type of stuff. And no judgment, because to anybody who may have done that or whatever, maybe y'all just didn't think about it that way, and everybody does not think like how I do, but that's just kind of how I saw it. And even though, like I said, I feel very strongly that she probably was lying, I still just didn't feel right about openly celebrating that at all. It just didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just felt weird. It just felt very weird to me.
Yeah, because I don't keep up either. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really see too much of the celebration. But it kind of, from hearing it, just kind of makes me feel like that, oh, it's one for the win for, you know, people trying to cancel folks or, you know, I don't know. It does feel kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like you said, even the stories that I heard about the trial, it does sound like she was embellishing a mm-hmm. little bit mm-hmm. on something.
To say the least, yes.
Yeah, but it does feel weird to, like, kind of celebrate that. Like, they both did and said very horrible things to one another.
But absolutely.
I'm just still kind of gagged that, you know, there was some kind of outcome out of this. I just thought both were really just gonna lose, and it was just more so for the court of public opinion. But
yeah, I mean, it was but here's the thing though, because I feel like Johnny definitely won in the court of public opinion, mm-hmm. but in a lot of ways he always had won in the court of public opinion. Like, people, even before they saw this whole trial and all this evidence that she was lying and all this stuff, like, a lot of people who were like Johnny Depp fans were always pretty solidly team Johnny Depp, and they were going to be team Johnny Depp no matter what the evidence showed.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
They love Captain Jack, huh?
Yeah. So I don't know if he had ever really lost in the court of public opinion. You know, Amber Heard 1,000% has this entire time, and it's just unfortunate that it even had to get to this point. You know, their marriage ended officially in 2017. And here we are 5 years later with them still duking it out in court. And even people, you know, who had kind of heard the statements that Amber Heard's people put out in the interview that her lawyer did afterwards, were saying, oh, wow, Johnny has a whole nother case for defamation again with her lawyer saying this. And it's just like, I hope it just ends. It was just a really, really, really bad situation all around.
It doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. I think Rizzo,
mm-hmm.
this is kind of like you kind of said what I was trying to say.
Mm.
Like, it's just a loss for domestic abuse victims. That's kind of how it feels.
People, and I feel like it, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I feel like the celebration aspect of it for sure. Because obviously, you know, when things like that happen, you don't always have evidence. You don't always have a good reason for why you didn't get medical treatment, why you didn't go to the police, why you didn't do these type of things. You know what I'm saying? But I guess I've seen the other side of the argument too, that maybe it's not a loss for domestic violence victims. If you think that Johnny Depp was a domestic violence victim.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it kind of depends on how you're really looking at the situation, you know. Dr. Ebony said, I think it may have come from a place of always seeing women win and come out on top. I've seen a lot of men posting and celebrating like they won the $8 million. And that was the thing, because I believe that there were a lot of men posting it. I saw a lot of women posting about it too. And that definitely kind of made me a little bit uncomfortable too, because I'm just like, y'all, at the end of the day, we don't know what happened in their relationship. We just don't. Mm-hmm. We do not know for certain. So, yeah, I almost think it would have been a better outcome all around if they both would have just lost and everybody would have just walked away, you know? Yeah. But,
I think that's spot on. Like, people making it seem like it's their $8 million.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. You didn't have a dog in this fight. You still broke and they still rich. It's fine. Heather said, and this is round two. They duped it out in the UK already, right? I wish this was not even televised personally. Well, technically in the UK trial, that was Johnny Depp suing a publication who accused him of being, who called him a wife beater because of Amber Heard's article and allegation. So that trial wasn't directly with Amber Heard. This is the first time they have directly gone to court against each other. So yeah, but I'm glad it's over. It was I'm not gonna lie, like, it wasn't entertaining. It was very, very entertaining, but it's like, it does kind of suck that our society just gets off so much on all these things that celebrities have going on in their personal lives. It kind of became a sport. It was a spectacle. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Lakers versus Celtics or something, yep, you know?
Absolutely. It was a whole spectacle. It was. It definitely was. And this is really like one of the biggest celebrity type of things that we've had like that in a while. I can't recall another case that was quite like that too. So
yeah. For sure.
But yeah. So also I want to talk about celebrity garbage. So of course the Kardashians are always gonna be a topic in celebrity garbage. They just are. They are the celebrity garbage. I have been watching the Kardashian show, and you know what? I don't know. At first I was kind of liking it. At first I was thinking it was showing a more authentic view of them, which I still believe that it does. But now it may be showing a little bit too much. Because now we are really starting to not just see the opulence of their lifestyle, but to hear about it as well and to have them talk about it in detail. Like Khloe talking about her brand new multi-million dollar house that she got built over the last few years. That's like 20,000 square feet, some insane amount of space that nobody needs. And Kim giving a tour of her brand new customized private jet with cashmere lining the walls and shit. And Kim having like a literal warehouse that houses every single piece of clothing that she has worn over the past like decade. And no lie, it literally looks like a Walmart. That's how big the space is. It's just boxes and boxes of clothes, racks and racks of stuff. And yeah, it's just, I don't know. And I saw a TikTok about this also, and it was kind of saying that they feel like the Kardashians' relevancy to our culture is fading because of our inability to relate to them. And it's like the culture is kind of moving away from this super, super big, like, glitz and glamour of celebrity, especially now with so much going on, gas prices and rent and mortgages going up and a potential recession and all these things happening, money being really tight, salaries are not, you know, matching how much we have to pay for everything. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to see you flaunt your crazy, you know, wealth. You know, that's kind of the space that we're in. And I feel that. That's kind of how I'm starting to feel about it. Like, I don't even, like, obviously, you know, watching their show, you're going to see that. But to hear about it is something different. You know what I'm saying? And have them talk about it with zero acknowledgement of, I know this is not everybody's life. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm not trying to show off. There's no type of caveat whatsoever like that when they're doing these things, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that is true to their lifestyle. So I think that's why they don't get, like, this is dumb to have like cashmere private jet. Like, we don't care, people mm-hmm. that are watching. But in their circle, in their lifestyle, those are things that their people around them care about. So I think that is, quote unquote, authentic to themselves. They just aren't really relatable to us. And I think they're probably getting a bit of backlash. I mean, I always get backlash, mm-hmm. but you know what I mean? Because I think the wave of like where social media is no longer, we don't want curated. That's why I think TikTok does so well. It's like, we like hearing regular people story times. We like seeing regular people lives and, you know, stuff that we can relate to. And everything is moving from this very curated, lavish, Instagram-ish lifestyle to, this is what I ate.
More real.
I'm struggling with my weight. This is what I did in a day. You know right. what I mean? Like, it's more like that. And I think people like the Kardashians and these very bigger celebrities are starting to kind of feel that separation from the masses. Like, obviously they're always going to have their fans or whatever and people who are diehard for them, but mm-hmm. the whole oohing and aahing and oh, I would love to see what Kim has in her private jet. Like, I don't think the masses are really into that anymore.
They're not. They're absolutely not at all. We got some good comments. Rizzo said, did they run into a problem with this at the beginning of the pandemic too? I don't remember exactly, but wasn't there a meme about a birthday party or vacation or something? Yes, yeah. They flew to some island somewhere for like Kim's birthday, and if they flew like a couple hundred people, I don't know, it was like a big birthday party that they had like out of the country when nobody was flying. It was in 2020, like at the height of the pandemic when nobody was flying and stuff, and they were able to leave the country. And that was a big show. And it's just, you know, and I guess, you know, you can say the Kardashians are really not here to be authentic, but it's like, well, not to be relatable, I should say. They're not really here to be relatable, but at the same time, like, people like relatability. You know what I'm saying? People, that we are, our society is just moving into a phase where we prefer that. We prefer to see people who are dealing with the same things that we're dealing with. You know what I'm saying? Not to have this really idealized view of, oh, if you work as hard as Kim Kardashian, you could be a billionaire too. And it's just like, hard work is not the only thing that put Kim Kardashian in the position that she's in. And I'm definitely not saying that she has not worked hard, but hard work is not the only way that you need, the only thing that you need to get there. It takes a lot more than that. There are tons of people who work super, super hard, and they're never going to have the money that Kim Kardashian has. Does that mean that she works harder? No. It just means that she got enough luck and opportunity in her life to be able to get her to that place. It's not just hard work, you know?
Yeah. Knowing the right people, being born into
circumstances,
you know, these circumstances, you know, all that plays a role in it too. Like I said, it's not discounting it. I'm sure she works hard.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that's just not the only way. It's not linear.
It's not. So. It's not. Lisa said, look, I'm not here to get mad at people who don't pay my bills, but I agree with you 1,000%. Gas is $5+. Milk is almost $4 a gallon. Rents are skyrocketing. Like, I'm good. I don't need to see it. Lisa said, they need to take it to the group chat.
They do.
They do.
They do. Yeah, that's why I'm like, I feel like they're so used to flaunting this, because that's what they basically been doing their whole career. Mm-hmm. And now we're at this point where a lot of people don't want this curated stuff. We don't want to see this lavish stuff. Like, we're struggling. We're still in a pandemic.
Right.
So, you know, we're in this wave where we don't really want to see that. And I don't think it clicked with them.
No,
because their world hasn't changed.
No, it has not. It definitely has not at all. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm still going to watch the show, because, you know, they on the next episode, they're going to finally be talking about Tristan's baby that he had on Khloé. Apparently him and Khloé, you know, Khloé has really kind of been keeping the public out of their relationship since all the cheating and stuff like that has happened. So we didn't really know what their relationship status was, but before this baby news came out, he was moving into the house that she just built with her and her daughter. So they were very much together. And so y'all know I got to see the fallout from that. I'm just saying. I got to see the fallout from that.
Ugh, that whore.
Yeah, Tristan
the is man.
Big old hoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
let me clarify.
Yep. Lisa, this is a really good analogy. Lisa said, it means she started on second base while we are all still in the dugout waiting for our turn at the plate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like people would have more respect for the Kardashians if they would acknowledge the advantages that they've had. Being born into an affluent community with an already, you know, rich family. You know what I'm saying? Even beauty is an advantage. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though you kind of can argue about the origins of their beauty, plastic surgery and all that, it's beauty. You know what I'm saying? So they have definitely, and also being able to capitalize off of, you know, historically Black women features without having Black women skin. I'm just going to throw that out there too. That is an advantage as well. So, you know?
Yeah. I think they may feel like, you know, I don't know, acknowledging it is mm-hmm. maybe downplaying the it hard is. Work that they
that's
do
what
and
they
stuff
think.
Like that. Yeah, that's but that's not it. No. We all have some level of privilege, like
absolutely.
Straight privilege,
yep.
male privilege,
yep.
white privilege. We all have some level of privilege that yep. we can acknowledge that, you know, is helping us do a little bit better in the game than other yep. people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no fault to them. Like, yep. you can't help what you were born into.
Exactly.
It literally is just luck.
But acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Acknowledge, like, because just yeah. like when, you know, I think it was Forbes or whoever who coined Kylie a self-made billionaire.
Oh,
everybody, yeah. like, if they could have just put billionaire, why did they have, why did the self-made have to be thrown into that? Because it's
for
just like, were you self-made? Like,
it's
like
for the clicks.
Oprah is a self-made billionaire. Legitimately, Oprah literally came from nothing, had a horrific childhood and upbringing, and she is legitimately a self-made millionaire. Kylie being born into, you know, having a Olympic winning, you know, father and a mother who had came from a rich marriage and situation, and having her sisters who were famous as she was growing up, like, that's not the same. That's not the same as Oprah growing up the way she did. So yeah,
yeah.
they she, just like, that acknowledging
six people who can invest in her.
Exactly. Exactly. yep. Exactly. Exactly. Kristen, like LeBron, truly a self-made billionaire. So I feel like that's the issue. Like there just needs to be more acknowledgement on their end that they have so much privilege, so many advantages, and they did not do that just off the strength of their hard work. Like cut the shit. Cut the shit. You know?
For sure.
Yeah, it's just frustrating. It's just frustrating. Like Kylie is as much of a self-made billionaire as Donald Trump. Like let's stop this. Let's cut it out.
Oh, man.
Let's cut it out. Yes.
I'm surprised you didn't put that Monique situation on here.
Oh, with D.L. Hughley?
Yeah, that was a
hot ass mess.
We can
talk about it real quick? Yeah, we can talk because I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't know what to say about Monique. So if anybody doesn't know, Monique is a comedian. She has kind of always found herself, yeah. in some type of drama or something over the years with people. And more recently, she got into like a super public Instagram back and forth with another comedian, another black comedian, D.L. Hughley, a man. And because they were both doing some type of comedy show at the same location. And it was some miscommunication, I believe, from the promoter, whoever
the promoter,
on,
yeah.
that one of them was supposed to be basically the headliner, which is the person that goes on stage last or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they got into this huge back and forth about it where they was posting contracts and talking crap about each other. And I just never understood why this was a conversation that was one public and two that was between them instead of both of them talking to the promoter whose fault it really was.
See, I wouldn't really consider it a back and forth, and I hate this because, you know, black women love them mm-hmm. to infinity and affinity. But Monique did go on stage and blast DL, like, as if it was his fault.
She did.
That DL went on and did his whole thing, did not even mention it at all.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it blew up on social media.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I feel like DL kind of just defended himself and shared his contract, which yep. Looking at it all, it sounds like it's just a mix up with the promoter or what. Maybe they both have headline. I don't
yeah.
really know, but I feel like
it was more of him defending himself. You're right about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, because he only said the one like 10-minute thing on his show. He has like mm-hmm. a radio show or whatever. But Monique has now done like two different, maybe even three IG lives.
Mm-hmm.
That were hours long.
Mm, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you doing your celeb garbage. I'm so proud of you.
I pick and choose. I'm sorry. but yeah, they were hours long. And she went on about how she did DL's show like years ago. At this point, maybe 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They asked a question, which was very like a homophobic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
she got really offended by that. DL wasn't even recording with her. It was his co-host or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she called him. He didn't apologize, so she was upset with that, but he was like, you know, we'll take it down. It never aired.
Mm-hmm.
Never aired. Nobody would have known this had happened until she said it a few days ago. So that, she said that was a reason. She said she knew she was going to run into DL again and be on stage with him again, and she was going to air him out. Wow. And that was the reason. It was something that was...
So it wasn't even just about that situation. It was some other stuff to it also. Yeah, that was... And I feel like that kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It's like, when everything is a big deal to you, then it's like nothing is a big deal to you. And it's like people take you less seriously, because DL pointed out, and I believe correctly, that Monique, you always have a problem with everybody. First, you had a problem with Oprah and
Tyler Perry, Steve Harvey.
Yes, it's always somebody. It's always somebody. So are you the common denominator? We don't know. We don't know the inner workings of all those beefs and all that, but you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. So,
yeah, it sucks, because I'm not a huge fan of DL. I don't really care for the comedy. Don't really care for his hot takes. But I don't know. Like you said, a common denominator. And I feel like a lot of her lies, it just seems like she was kind of weaponizing Blackness and Black femininity.
Yeah.
And that that infuriates me, because it waters down kind of the movement, you know what I mean?
Right.
To be like, oh, I should be able to say this because I'm a Black woman. Like, no, you can get called out too and be wrong too.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the stuff that she was saying about DL on that stage was very homophobic.
It was. It was.
And she should be getting called out for it too. Like, we should give her a pass because she is a Black woman.
100%. Yep. 100%. Yep. And Kristen brought up a good point too. She said, isn't DL allowed to grow and change? Absolutely. Everybody is. You know what I'm saying? And this is like, I just hate where if you have a problem with somebody from something else, you're trying to conflate that whatever with whatever issue you got going on now to get everybody on your side. I think that that's a very, very bad look. Like, be clear about what you're really mad at, you know? Yeah.
Because also, what she's mad at is clearly petty, because it's been 15 years. Let it go, girl.
Petty. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And one last piece of celeb garbage that I actually just saw on the Shade Room. I didn't put it on the notes. There is a rumor that Michael B. Jordan and Lori Harvey have broken up.
Ooh.
I know.
Have they ever talked?
What you mean?
Like, do they do interviews together? Like, I've never seen them talk.
I've never seen an interview of them together. The most I've ever seen was, I believe it was her birthday party. And there was like somebody, you know, put up like an Instagram, like video on Instagram of him making like a little speech at her birthday party, talking about how much he loved her or something like that. But I've never seen them talk together at the same time. So, yeah. But yeah, guys, I will keep y'all posted. I will be hitting up my boo, Michael B, and I will try to get the inside scoop directly from him about his relationship status.
The guys coming in, Lori Harvey's DM.
The boys love Lori Harvey, and I don't blame them. If y'all don't know who Lori Harvey is, definitely look her up. She's Steve Harvey's daughter, and she's absolutely stunning.
She's gorgeous.
And I have been absolutely heartbroken over this relationship between her and Michael Bay for the past year and a half. So, yeah. But yeah, one last thing we'll touch on before we cut out of here is there have been things floating around that says that Uncle Joe is going to cancel $10K, I guess, per borrower in student loan debt. Uncle Joe, we will absolutely take it, but that is absolutely not enough. Period. We'll take it, but that's not enough. And that's not going to do what you think it's going to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not going to hit the same way that, say, $50K a borrower would hit. That would hit. So, I'm just saying.
Nice to shave off a little bit, but yeah, it's a struggle. I also think I feel like we, like, our generation kind of got screwed over.
We did.
Like, I feel like we got sold the dream, because before us, like, yeah, y'all could literally go to college, get a good job, retire, and be good. But when it came to us, we went to college and got stuck with so much debt. We came out of college, couldn't find a job, recession hit, couldn't get a house, couldn't get no type of equity. Like, it We just got stuck.
Yep.
We got played. We got played big time.
I think so as well, because at least now, like, this next generation going into college, they are able to, they know more. They're going into mm-hmm. it knowing more about what accumulating this debt can mean for them. Yeah. Whereas we really didn't. You know what I'm saying? It, and it's wild it to me exists. That at 18 with absolutely no income, ain't nobody giving you money for a house, ain't nobody giving you money for a car, but they will give you these thousands of dollars for education with mm-hmm. really no even stipulations. Like, when you, my thing is, like, say, like, with the whole refund check thing, you know, what we all got refunds checks back in the day. You didn't have to spend that on your rent or on your living situation, on your food. Like, you could have spent that on whatever you wanted to spend it on. There was really no parameters for not borrowing more than what you absolutely needed for real. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like something that Joe could do if he's just really stuck on this 10K number, which Rizzo asked where this 10K number came from. The 10K number is just because that's the number that he gave when he was running for president, and that's the number. At the very least, I feel like he is tied to the minimum of that number, because that's what he said on the campaign trail. I truly think that that's where that number came from. But what he could also do is eliminate the interest. That would be huge as well. Like, if you're only going to forgive 10K of it, totally eliminating the interest would do so much, because the interest is the reason why people who have been paying for 15 years still owe more than what they even borrowed in the first damn place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he could push it. I'm wondering, as far as the 10K as well, is that something that he thinks he can get done? Because, I mean, it's not a dictatorship. You do got to go through these channels. So I'm wondering if that's like a middle ground that, you know,
I think
the GOP will apply to.
Well, I mean, he's trying to do it via executive order, which is something that he could do totally on his own without Congress or whatever. But like Rizzo said, it is basically a meaningless number, because my thing is, if you can cancel 10K, why can't you cancel 50? Like, do the rules of executive order specifically say you can only cancel this amount of debt? Like, no. You know what I'm saying? So it's weird. And it's definitely, Kristen, yeah, it's not a research based number. Maybe it is just the most he thinks that he can do without really, really pissing off, you know, the Republicans who don't want any student loan debt to be mm-hmm. canceled whatsoever. So, yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. But like I said, I think if he is just really tied to this 10K number, I think eliminating the interest would be huge. And I think the people would really feel like we have a real shot of being able to pay this off and not just paying so much more than what we even borrowed in the first place. Like, it's fucked up to do that for education, you know, education that a lot of us are not even using. You know, we got these degrees yeah. and some people didn't even get degrees and they still got the debt.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, that's why mine's is so high up, because I mean, mm-hmm. I got my bachelor's, but tried to go back to get the master's and realized, like, it's not worth it. Like, if I have a master's, I'm still getting paid the same amount of money as mm-hmm. a bachelor's. Like, it used to be like that. Mm-hmm. It used to be like that. More education, more money. But now mm-hmm. that's just not the case anymore. And it's yeah. just, it sucks, because we kind of got sold the dream and end up falling into that realm that it, not been that case, but it is good for the people coming up under us that now have options, that now know you don't need to take out mm-hmm. every single dime, mm-hmm. you know, if you mm-hmm. do choose to go to school. And, yeah. you know, there's so many other ways now with, like, even social media, you know, yeah. speaking of influencers,
yep.
to make some kind of income without having to go into higher ed.
Yep. Yep, exactly. So, exactly. Yeah, and if I could go back in time, knowing what I know now, I would 100% do it so differently. And I would still, you know, get my education, but I would make sure that I got it in the most affordable way mm-hmm. possible. And so, and I have seen a lot of people say this, well, if he cancels this debt, what's going to stop it from accumulating again? Cancel the debt and then do things to stop it from accumulating again. Like, we're not saying just let another generation of kids deal with this. Also, like, no, we do need to do things, make college more affordable like it was for our parents and stuff, to stop this from happening, because it's just, yeah, we totally got screwed. We totally got screwed. And Rizzo, you are not alone. This is a touchy subject for all of us. Because even if you don't have it, you have somebody in your life who do, a friend, mm-hmm. a family member, and you might have pagers off, but you can still relate to the struggle and how hard it was to do. So,
yeah, I don't get people that are like, oh, well, I paid mine off, so you got to pay it off. Like, no, let's not do that.
So selfish.
That's like, I'm like kind of bitter that I got sold this dream and now mm-hmm. I'm stuck with the debt. But I'm also not turning to the generation under me like, oh, you do the same thing and fuck up your life. Like,
yep.
No, I'm so grateful that they have different options and they have this education and know that, you know, it's not linear. You don't have to go to college to be successful.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's so weird.
Yep. Karina said, I work for a program that encourages going to a community college first before coming to university, and we still give them the university resource. If I could go back in time, that's exactly what I would do, because mm-hmm. a lot of times you're able to, once you complete your associate's degree, to get a legit full ride to whatever community college you want. I just really had no knowledge of that back in the day. And then even coming from our parents, like, no shade to them. It was a big push to go to a four-year university. Mm-hmm. A lot of us are first or second generation college graduates. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a big deal. College was what you did. You know what I'm saying? It was just
not to mention being 18 and just wanting to hang out with your friends unsupervised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is kids we talking about. Y'all giving thousands of dollars to
freedom. That is so true. That is so true.
Restrictions.
Yeah. Dr. Ebony said college should be affordable and junior college should be free. I'm 100% on board with that. Yeah. And truly affordable the way it was for our parents. Like, Elizabeth Warren talks about all the time how she paid, like, she still has a receipt from like one semester of college and it was like $250, something insanely small.
For the whole semester.
You know, and it's like the cost of education has gone up so much, but the salaries have not gone up in conjunction with that, but inflation and milk and all these things have continued to go up and the salaries have barely gone up. You know what I'm saying? The minimum wage has barely gone up. So yeah, I just, more has to be done. There's so much money in this world that so many of us shouldn't have to struggle the way that we do. And I feel like that's why we resent the Kardashians. It's not their damn fault that everything is so expensive and we broke and they not, but we still mad about it.
For sure.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. Literally. Uh-huh. It is ridiculous. It's insane.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, guys, we appreciate y'all being around. We can all like vent about this type of stuff. Let us know what y'all are dealing with as well, in our comments and in our DMs. We would love to hear from you guys as well, like, how is the student loan debt, you know, crisis affecting you and your family? And it just makes me upset to think about, like, I literally have dread thinking about August 31st or whenever coming around and the payments starting back. I know those servicers, I was going to say, those servicers cannot wait to start shooting off those emails and phone calls to remind you, because they were so self-righteous last time talking about it is ending, you will have to pay it back. And then Joe said, skirt, this is the last extension. No, it wasn't.
It was so ironic because I got like 3 phone calls like that. Mm-hmm. And then when Joe said, I got an email like, oh, it's been extended. Oh, y'all can't call now.
Oh, y'all can't call now.
Y'all can't call now.
Say it with your chest.
Yeah.
Say it with your chest. Okay. Like, y'all was so ready to get that money back. Now look at you. Yeah. So, yeah, something has to give. Something absolutely, especially with inflation that's going on right now. Like, come on, we need more than 10K, Joe. Like I said, if you got to do 10K, at least forgive the interest, something. Because nobody should be able to pocket, like, to pocket and line their pockets and really profit off of this extreme burden that is put on so many of us. So many of us who are also BIPOCs as well.
Yeah, because we have no choice but to take it. We don't come from no generational wealth that can pay for it.
Most of us don't. Exactly. Exactly. Yep. 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 But yeah, guys, this has been such a great conversation. Just want to give y'all a quick reminder that we will be taking a 2-week break this month from the podcast. So there will be no episode next week and the week after for people who are listening to this. So yeah, because we just got life stuff going on. Myra's birthday is right around the corner. I am moving into it's 6/12.
I'll put my cash up. No, I don't care. Don't send me nothing. I don't care about that. That's always so weird to me.
I cannot deal with you.
Show their cash up, but yeah.
I know. I love it. I love it. Yeah. And I'm moving into our new house. So kind of kick that into gear, getting packed up and going. So yeah, we just need a little bit of break. And more than likely moving forward, we'll probably do something similar to this every summer, just like how we do our winter break and we take off the last 2 weeks of December for the holidays and Christmas and all that. We'll probably do something similar in the summertime too, just so we can rejuvenate and do some life things that we need to do and you know, really get our stuff in order. But you know, we'll be back. We're never gone for too long.
Yeah, for sure. We will let you know. And I see in the chat, Navient, aka Sally, make it catch these hands. I cannot stand them.
Is that who your servicer is?
One of my private loans.
Oh,
yeah. They really be calling me for $70 a month if I'm like 2 days late. I refuse to pay y'all on time. I don't care.
You know what? And I feel like a lot of this generation has, we have all said over the past 2 years that we were not paying these loans. I need us to put our money where our mouth is and for real don't pay in August. Like, everybody get on the same page. We not paying, period. We are not
paying.
The
only thing is that stuff hitting your credit report.
Yeah.
And so if guys, you know you have things to do.
Yep. Get your stuff in order. If you need to buy a house, buy it now. If you need to buy a car, buy it now. If you need a new credit card, buy it now. Okay? So then, if you don't need to buy that stuff, your credit don't matter. That's all you need it for, really. So, this is not official advice.
Yeah, don't take this official advice.
Disclaimer.
Yeah.
I'm just telling y'all, what I'm going to do life. Is that good, which is not pay this.
Dr. Ebony June is an awesome
mom. Mm-hmm. It is.
It is
really an awesome mom. Yep. Yeah, guys. We love y'all so much. Thank y'all so much for listening and rocking with us for the past 2 years. We cannot wait to see what the next years have to come for Planners and Wine. We love you guys. Yeah, we appreciate y'all. Myra, did you have anything else?
No. That's it. We already talked about birthdays. I'm going to keep saying it.
We did. It's 6/12. Fine. Make sure y'all wish be late Myra and all the birthday wishes on
and don't
June
wish 12. It on today. It is not today. Y'all did that last year.
Oh, wow.
The podcast came up and I was like, it's not my birthday.
Myra said, y'all got 24 hours to wish her happy birthday on the day and that's all. Okay?
I am joking. I don't mind, but I appreciate the love if y'all want to send it.
Yes. But, yes, but yeah, guys, we love y'all so much, and we will see y'all or talk to y'all in 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.